Preparedness and Ocean Policy to order. It's Thursday, May 3rd, and we are ready to rock and roll on, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2555. And you have some amendments. I'll let Jim explain this.
House Bill 2555 was last seen by the committee on 424. It has since had an amendment. And at your place, there should be House Bill 255-3, and Joel Larry is here to explain the change.
Welcome,
Joel. Thank you, Co-Chair Boone, members of the committee. Good afternoon. Joel Larry, for the record, Senior Policy Advisor to Governor Kulongoski. House Bill 2555, the -3 amendment, it is a gut and stuff amendment replacing the text of the original bill. What it does is address the issue of multi-county searches and who is responsible in multi-county searches. This is the recommendation, the contents that are in the -3 are the recommendation of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force, which I was the chair of. And basically what it does, it sets up a statutory guidance for sheriffs when they do not know in what county the missing person or people are located. What it says is that the sheriffs of the affected counties will come together and either decide which one of them is in charge or form a unified command under the incident command system. And then as a fallback, it says if none of those sheriffs can decide who's in charge or don't form a unified command, then the fallback, the default, is the first sheriff to have responded to the search and rescue call is the one who is in charge.
Entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the -3 amendments be included in House Bill 2555.
Thank you. Senator Berger has moved the -3 amendments to House Bill 2555. Is there any objections? Any discussion? Objections?
Madam Chair. Yes, may I please ask Joe, did the sheriff's organization, do they concur with this?
Co-Chair Boone, Representative Nelson, yes. Actually, this language was crafted by the Sheriff's Association
cool.
in cooperation with the Search and Rescue Task Force.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so any further discussion? Objections? -3 amendments have been adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2555 to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you. Senator Berger has moved the 2555 be amended with the -3 and sent to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? If not, the assistant will please call the roll.
Senator George L. Senator Johnson excused. Representative
Krieger. Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Aye.
Representative Shoffel.
Aye.
Representative Callan.
Aye.
Senator Gary George.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Berger.
Aye.
And Chair Burton.
Aye. Okay, it's a unanimous landslide. I will close the work session on House Bill 2555. And it's going down to Ways and Means. Okay, I will now open a work session on Senate Bill 1002.
Senate Bill 1002 was last seen by the committee on 424. It had -1 amendments. There have been additional amendments, and you have before you a -2. Joel Larry is here to explain the -2 amendments.
To reintroduce yourself.
Co-Chair Boone, for the record, Joe O'Leary, Governor Kulongoski's Policy Advisor for Public Safety, and the Chair of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force. Senate Bill 1002 in the form of the -2 amendment, which is a gut and stuff of the entire language of the original bill, is the legislative recommendations of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force that do not have any fiscal impact. And I'm going to walk you through each section very, very briefly and tell you what each one does. Section 1 of the -2 addresses the multi-jurisdictional search issue, as I just mentioned to you, with reference to another bill. Exact same solution. Section 2 of the Dash 2 addresses the compliance with the National Incident Management System and the Incident Command System. And basically what this does is say that the search and rescue plans developed by county sheriffs must be consistent with the Incident Command System of NIMS. This, by the way, was one of the issues that got tweaked from the last version of this that you saw, because the last version of this just said, you shall comply with NIMS. And what was pointed out to us by the Sheriff's Association is that NIMS is very, very broad, and that might have unintended circumstances. Incident Command is one chapter, if you will, within NIMS, so we clarified all of the references to NIMS to specify Incident Command, which everybody is comfortable with and which is a best practice. Section 3 of the Dash 2 addresses the after-action critique. And what this one does, and this is also something that was tweaked from the last version of the amendment you saw, it was a little bit awkward language. So what we do here in Section 3 is we make clear that if, in the opinion of the sheriff, an after-action critique would be useful, then the sheriff may go ahead and do that after-action critique. Alternatively, if someone involved directly in the search and rescue requests the after-action critique, then the sheriff must conduct that after-action critique. Policy behind that is the best practices to frankly do after-action critiques on as many of these searches as possible. Section 4 addresses the missing person subpoena. This is not something that that exists in current law. Right now, what law enforcement uses is a grand jury subpoena to attempt to find documents relating to a missing person. And when there's not probable cause of criminal activity, the grand jury subpoena probably isn't the appropriate tool. So what Section 4 does is create statutory authority for law enforcement to, if they have probable cause to believe both that someone is missing and in danger, to go to a city attorney, a district attorney, or a judge, convince that judge of their probable cause, and then if the judge believes it, the judge may issue the subpoena, so long as the judge or attorney, as the case may be, believes that the information or documents being sought will be useful in locating the person who is missing or is believed to be missing and in danger. Now, in response to some of the concerns that were raised at the hearing, this is also a section that was changed a little bit. We've tried to tighten this up quite a bit. There was some language in the original amendment that just didn't flow, and we needed to correct it. We also inserted these paragraphs. They're under Section 4. They're paragraphs 3 and 4 to address the civil libertarian concerns that were raised, which are valid, to make sure that this is not a tool that is abused. And what we did in 3 was we made clear to say that if you're going to obtain documents through the subpoena, it's only for the purpose of finding the missing person. It's not to be used in a criminal prosecution. And then in number 4, what we say is, if the documents you find or the information you find is otherwise confidential for whatever reason by statute, the fact that you get them by the subpoena does not change their confidential nature, meaning you can't release them to anybody else. So those are the sideboards we put on it. We tried to keep it as simple as possible. Section 5 is the section that deals with discretionary leave, that is discretionary to the employer, for certified search and rescue volunteers if approved by the sheriff or OEM. And then, and there were no changes, by the way, from the last version of this. Section 6 is simply a codification section. It's telling the drafters to place certain sections in Chapter 401, which is the search and rescue part of the code. And then Section 7 is the repeal of a statute that exists now that says that the Oregon State Police is to regulate all electronic signaling devices, which was passed in 1977 at the same time that the other provisions regarding the Oregon Episcopal School tragedy were passed. So that's a repeal of that statute that's never, by the way, been implemented, and it's completely out of place at the Oregon State Police and is inconsistent with federal law. And then the last section, Section 8, was not from the Search and Rescue Task Force. That is a legislative council conforming language issue. When they open up a new chapter that they wouldn't otherwise be looking at, they update the language, and that is a non-substantive change.
Just a question that came to my mind, if you don't mind.
That's fine.
When volunteer firemen leave their employment to go fight a fire, aren't they paid?
Coach Herboon, Representative Nelson, I think the answer is that they are eligible for the unpaid leave, discretionary to the employer, that is actually exactly the same as Section 5. We used that statute, actually, to mirror Section 5 for the SAR volunteers. So I think what happens is the volunteer firefighter goes off. The employer does not need to pay them, and it's in the employer's discretion to say yes or no, but the employer does need to hold the job if they say yes.
May I have one more, please?
One more, fine.
I'm just a little concerned about this Section 4, where the information cannot be used. The Attorney General's office, I'm sure you've taken this by them, but it seems like it might really impair proceeding, court proceeding.
Coach Herboon, Representative Nelson, we did seek the Department of Justice's assistance. We also sought the input from the lobbyists for the American Civil Liberties Union. We relied heavily on Kevin Keeler, who was a member of our task force and is the corporate counsel of Edge Wireless. I really appreciate the point you're making, and my response is that there are a lot of competing interests when we talk about this missing person subpoena. There's the overlay of federal law that controls what you can access as far as electronic information is concerned. There is the interest of the prosecution and the state in enforcing criminal laws, and then there's the interest of individual liberties. And I think our first version of this, we tried to make everybody happy, and it ended up being kind of a clumsy section. So we've cut it back quite a bit, but you are correct. I mean, the under subparagraph 3 of Section 4, it makes clear that if you obtain records pursuant to a missing person subpoena, that means you cannot admit those records into a criminal proceeding. What it doesn't say, however, is that you cannot get those records by other means. So if I were a prosecutor evaluating a case, I would, and I knew that this information was available, I would attempt to craft an affidavit to establish probable cause for a search warrant to obtain that record by a different mean, a legal means that could be used in an evidentiary way in a criminal proceeding.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
It was really well discussed and by all lawyers and the.
Great.
Do you remember? Was it Lieutenant or
Detective Weinstein?
Detective Weinstein.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, they brought up all kinds of things that you and I wouldn't even think about. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing on this bill, Senate Bill 1002, and open a work session on Senate Bill 1002.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I move the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 1002.
Representative Nelson has moved the -2 amendments. Are there any objections? Are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1002 with the approved with
amended.
As amended. Gosh, I don't know what happens to my mind when it starts. You're fine until it does. I move Senate Bill 1002 as amended to the. Is it going back to the
floor? Yeah.
To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Nelson has moved Senate Bill 1002 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Then I will declare Gary, call the roll.
Senator George L. excuse. Senator Johnson excuse. Representative Krueger.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Callen.
Aye.
Senator Gary George.
Aye.
Representative Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Berger.
Aye.
Chair Boone.
Aye. We have a bill. I need a carrier. A Senate carrier.
Can you? I'll be happy to carry.
Would you like to do that?
Yeah.
Senator Berger will carry 102. Thank you. And now I will open up a public hearing and work session on Senate Bill 1003.
Senate Bill 1003 was last heard by the committee on April 24th. It has had since had new amendments. You should have a dash 2 in front of you. I would like to point out that as the bill is written now, it does not have a referral to Ways and Means. Once the amendment is adopted, it's anticipated that LFO will report a fiscal impact, and we would need to request a referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. Joe?
Co-Chair Boone, for the record, Joe O'Leary, Policy Advisor to Governor Kulongoski for Public Safety, and the Chair of the Governor's Search and Rescue Task Force. Senate Bill 1003 and the dash 2 amendment is a gut and stuff of the entire language of the original bill. The dash 2 amendment is one of the recommendations of the Search and Rescue Task Force, and it is the one legislative recommendation out of our report that does carry a fiscal impact. What the bill does is add a section to the responsibilities of Oregon Emergency Management to allow the director to appoint regional search and rescue coordinators. The intent of those positions is to assist the sheriffs of the various counties and the search and rescue communities, the search and rescue councils in those various regions, with performing their search and rescue duties, implementing the incident command system, obtaining resources, training, et cetera. This was, as your administrator pointed out, this is a measure that does carry a fiscal impact. It does not prescribe the number of regional coordinators that OEM is to appoint, but what it does is it gives OEM rulemaking authority and says that OEM, in collaboration with the Sheriff's Association, shall decide how many they need. And I know that Mr. Murphy is present. He has some thoughts, at least initial thoughts, if you'd like to hear him about how many might be necessary if you were to adopt this bill.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Chair Boone, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ken Murphy, the Director of Oregon Emergency Management. I will just be very brief on this, and clearly, you know, this is something that we've talked about before to some extent, and we've talked in House Bill 2923, which asks for regional coordinators. And I akin this as part of those potential duties of placing those people out in the regions, and the number that we talked about at the time were 5 to cover the state adequately. And so that's what we were focused on, and somewhat takes care of helping counties and cities regionally with not only search and rescue duties but many other duties. So 5 was the number that we had talked about in previous times, and clearly just a recommendation and negotiable.
Okay, thank you.
Co-Chair Boone, if I could just put one thing on the record that I neglected to say. I just want to punctuate this. Right now, the Office of Emergency Management has one and only one search and rescue coordinator, George Kleinbaum, who was present when we heard this bill last time. And that is just not sufficient. And that's where this is coming from.
And Director Murphy has been exceedingly patient, and if I might editorialize, so deserves this. So we are, I would entertain a motion from Senator George G.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 1003 be amended with a dash 2 amendments.
Senator George has moved that the Senate Bill 1003 be amended with the dash 2 amendments. Is there any objection? So ordered. And we're going to stop on this one right now.
In time vote.
Close that here.
Just in time vote.
Aren't you going to have to learn the whole bill?
No.
It's now going to have a fiscal, I have to get a fiscal report.
Right, so it needs to wait for this.
We can bring it back, and I need to get permission from the Senate President's office in order to get a report to Ways and Means.
So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 1003, and we'll be getting this back. We're doing really well on our schedule, so I'm not worried at all about that.
Madam Chair, can I just ask?
Yeah.
In the summaries of these bills that we're getting stuffy, some of them are really good issues, and does that mean they're gone forever? Like this one was the tsunami drills?
Oh, no. No, it has to have permission to go to the fiscal. It will go to Ways and Means. Did you want to discuss it more?
The tsunami bill is
amendment. The amendments that we're adopting for these bills, they are getting stuffed.
Right.
So the tsunami portion has gone away.
That's right. So what I'm wondering is, are we not going to do that?
Right.
Like an important task. We're not going to do it.
Two votes.
Is there any Senator Johnson?
Madam Chair, I don't want to reopen the committee for the purpose of voting, but I would just ask to be
happy to.
Recorded as excused.
You are, but we'd be happy to take your vote if you'd like.
Madam Chair, I move we suspend the rules, allow Senator Johnson to vote on these bills.
Aye.
If she does it wrong, we'll
have to vote on the amendment.
1002 and 2555.
What about 1003? Don't we have to vote to make the amendment?
Madam Chair, I am perfectly happy to be listed as excused. I was in LFO.
Insist that you
They're
vote.
Insisting, so I will reopen the work.
Get you on the record.
Reopen a work session on House Bill 2555.
Because we need money.
For the purposes of Senator Johnson to cast her vote. But you can only vote yes.
I would be an aye vote on House Bill 2555.
Thank you. I will now close the work session on House Bill 2555, and I will reopen the Senate Bill 1002 work session for the purposes of Senator Johnson to cast her vote.
And Johnson would cast an aye vote on Senate Bill 1002.
Thank you. And I will close the work session on House Bill Senate Bill 1002. And I will reopen the work session.
I was.
Oh, that's right. You were here for that.
Thank you for your courtesy, Madam Chair and colleagues.
Now you get to carry both bills.
Is there any further comments? Hearing none, I will close the committee hearing for today. Thank you very much.